just do that right now. Exalt him. Father, we exalt you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for all that you provided for us. We exalt you. You are our Savior, our healer, baptizer, our soon coming King, our protector, our provider, Father. We thank you today. We exalt you. We lift you up. You said if you would be lifted up, you would draw men. We lift you up, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are you glad to be in the house of God tonight? Well, you know what the routine is. We go across, around, everywhere, and shake hands with people. See who's here. Hey, Nathan. Good stuff. How are you? Praise the Lord, everybody. Did everybody get their hand shook? Did everybody shake hands with somebody? You know, if we should be able to get all the way around and get everybody, but try anyway. I tried to get everybody. I hope I did. I tried. Well, where are we at?
Oh, you want to talk about the Super Bowl party?
Yeah. Hey, if we have any visitors here, we're sure glad to have you. Raise your hand. We'll be glad to give you one of our brochures. I don't think we have any visitors tonight, but praise the Lord. We need to have some. Y'all bring somebody,
I think,
okay?
Some of the people are home watching the ball games.
Yeah, maybe they are.
Well, we're not happy because our team didn't win, so.
Nope. But I'm still a fan.
That's right. Remember,
I was there when they started. Dallas Cowboys started in down in Dallas. That's where I grew up, and I was there when they started, and I've been with them through ever since. And I'm not a fair weather fan. I'll stay with them all the way, you know. But hey, February the 1st, we're gonna have the Super S-O-U-P-E-R. I can spell it for me.
S-O-U-P-E-R.
Yeah, yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means we're going to have actually chili, and we're going to have vegetable soup, and you guys need to bring the desserts.
And the side dishes.
And the any side dishes. And the game begins at 5:30.
It starts at 5:30. I'll be doing a short speech at halftime. Well, I guess that's what you call it. Or a sermonette. Maybe that's what you call it. Anyway, how many of you have enjoyed that every time we've had it? It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to do it again. It's a lot of fun. It's a time of having good fellowship together. You know, part of being a part of a church is the fellowship that you have. That's the one of the most important things is the fellowship that you have. So,
how many of you were at the ball game last night?
I'm sorry I didn't make it up, but I thought it was going to be an afternoon. When I realized it's at 7 o'clock at night, the time I drive over here and get here and then get back home, that's not going to be too good for me preaching the next morning. So I decided that I better forego that. So,
but Craig said you guys had a good time. So
yeah,
yes,
Craig
so
came
awesome.
In our place, so he was there. He said y'all had a good time, and I saw the pictures that he put on the Facebook. Oh, speaking of that, everybody better check in so everybody know about Raymond Bible Church OKC. If you have these kind of things, I'm gonna check in here. Raymond Bible Church OKC. All right, who's with me? Well,
I'm with you.
All right, done.
And your host. Two wives.
Yes.
That's only because we have two Facebook sites.
Yes, because you can only have so many friends, and so and I don't like the fan page because I can't, you know, there's no interaction.
It's no personal.
You know,
we like to be
if you have a Facebook and I'm your friend when it's birthday time, I personally write happy birthday and send it to you.
Yes, we do.
A lot of people in my position, they have a Facebook page, but somebody else takes care of it. I take care of my own, both of them. So
that's
and
why
she
have,
does too.
So we have two different sites.
Yes,
so.
Got two different sites. One I got a blue shirt on, and the other thing I got a red shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try to be my friend, yeah, there's so many requests on there that. I don't know how to do it because I'm
the one that goes and at least accepts your friends. That's all
I haven't accepted anybody, and I don't know because there's too many on there. I have to go through all of them to find the people that I know to get on there. Everybody's wanting to be your friend, and you know, and some people you don't even know that want to be your friend because they've read your books and all that kind of stuff. So I try to get the people that I really know, like. My
yes.
church members.
Yes,
any of
we
you,
do.
Any of y'all friends with me on Facebook? Oh, quite a few of you are. Okay, well that's good. That's good. What's
yes.
up? What's next?
Well, I think it is investment time.
Is it really?
It is. It
All right.
Is.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, it's so great when we invest in the kingdom of God because His stock always goes up. We always get a return on the investments that we invest into the kingdom.
See, you never know what I'm going to do up here. I'm.
That's right.
That's for sure. But I like it that way. That way I keep you guessing. Y'all, it doesn't become boring anyway.
Nope.
Everybody stand up. Y'all too quiet. Y'all getting too comfortable.
Too
All
warm.
Right.
Yes.
Let's say our offering prayer. Oh, you can text it yes. if you want to text your gift. OKC, space amount, 28950. Follow the prompts. If you've already done it one time, you don't have to follow the prompts anymore. It'll automatically do it for you.
Unless your card is expired.
Yeah. If your card is expired, you have to write a new one on there. All right. Okay, we ready to do our prayer?
All right, let's say this together. This is my seed. I sow it into the kingdom of God. I sow because I love God and want to see Rhema Bible Church continue to fulfill what God has called us to do. I believe that as I sow my seed, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It shall come back to me in many ways. I thank you, Lord, for good opportunities coming my way. I thank you that the windows of heaven are opening because of my obedience to sow my seed. I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God upon my life and the grace to prosper as you have promised me in your word.
And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you give.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Oh, it sounds like music in my ears. It is the sweetest name.
Continue. To me, He is so wonderful.
To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful.
Song. It may be a children's song, but I still like it because it expresses what we really feel. You may be seated. Seeing the impossible become possible. That's the subject that I'm speaking on today. You know, when a person starts out on a destination driving a car on a trip, you can't see the destination when you start. You don't know all the scenery that's going to be there. You don't know whether there's going to be road constructions or the buildings along the way. But you start your journey and you accomplish it 1 mile at a time. You know, what if your friend said they're going to go to Dallas at 6 in the morning? And so at 8 o'clock, there you walked out and there they're sitting in their car. And you say, well, what in the world are you doing? And he said, I thought you were going to Dallas. Well, I am, but I can't see Dallas from here, so I don't know whether I can make it or not. Well, now that sounds funny, but the truth is that's the way some people approach life. They sit on their couch not going anywhere because they can't see the real possibilities that exist for them. Now, my favorite verse of scriptures, Luke 18:27. If anybody ever has me sign my name on a book or something, and I don't know what for, but they do anyway, so I sign it. But I always put underneath it, I always pluck Luke 18:27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And this is just the second Sunday into the new year. And as we begin this year, we cannot see the whole year. You don't know what is out there in front of you. And we can't just sit in doubt and wonder if we're going to make it or not. We've got to believe the things which we run up against that are impossible will become possible because of God and the Word of God. You know, one of the greatest secrets to success is to learn to look at things in the right way. You know, if you look at things with the eyes of doubt and fear, and you'll believe you can't make it, and you won't. But if you'll look at it with the eye of faith and believe God that all things are possible, like he said in the Word, you'll make it. Good. Hello. Anybody with me? See, I want to encourage you to look at this year with the eyes of faith, believing that what is impossible that comes up in front of you will become possible because God's Word says all things are possible to him that believes. We've got to learn to see the unseen. Did you realize the unseen is more real than the seen? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18 now. 2 Corinthians 4:18, I'll wait and give you a chance to find it. I see some of you got your Bibles. I see some of you got your devices there. I've got my phone here and my mini iPad there, and I've got my Bible here. But I like to have these because I can go to all the different translations at one time. You know, if I just got the one Bible, it's whatever translation that is. But if I got that iPad right there, I can go to all the different translations and read. And I like to, when I'm looking at a scripture sometimes, I like to read it from different translations because it helps you to get a better view of what that scripture is about. Because, we pronounce words different words mean different things today than they did, you know. When you read that word in the New King James or the Old King James conversation that he talks about, well, actually, when it was written, it was it talked about the way of life. But when we hear the word conversation, we're talking about talking with one another. Okay, everybody find 2 Corinthians 4:18. Okay. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, the Amplified says it like this. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Now, the New International Version. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, this is Scripture is telling us to focus on the unseen, the invisible possibilities in the spirit realm, because that's where our hope is. That's where we will see success. You know, some people get locked into seeing the things in this world and all their situations and all their trouble and all the things that's coming in on them, and they focus in on that, and they become depressed and full of fear. But we have to get our eyes off of what we see and begin to realize that the impossibilities exist. I mean, the possibility over the impossibility exists out here in the unseen. That's what the scripture said, if I read it right. Is that what the scripture said? You see, some people think that all there is what they see with the physical eye. But that's not all there is. When they just look at what they can see with the physical eye, they become full of doubt and unbelief. You know, some people that you meet, they so focus on the current situation in life that they don't consider the reality of the spoken promises of God. All they can see is the reality right here in front of them. They cannot see with the eye of faith and see the answer. Now, when Craig was about 8, 9 years old, 10, 12, up until he was in high school, we rode what we call enduro motorcycle racing. I don't know any of you ever done that. I remember one of the first races we ran was right out here at Draper Lake. And in fact, they had a deal there that night before we started next morning, and I had to cut 2 inches off my handlebars because to get it through the trees, sometimes you got to do this. And, you know, and one of the guys we was riding with, he said, Hagin, he said, your problem, the reason you're having so much difficulty is that you're just looking right in front of you. You're not looking down the trail at what's down there and taking in everything in that situation, and you can prepare yourself for what you see down there. That's what people are doing. They're looking just at the natural situation, and they're not looking to see what God has said about the situation. You know, God has something to say about everything. We just need to learn to look to him. We need to learn to listen to what he has to say. You know, the reason that most of us don't look into the unseen world is because that we haven't been taught that that world is more real than the physical world that we're in. The reason we must look in the unseen realm, let me read it here, is that it is more real than the physical realm. The spirit realm is more real than the physical realm. You know, if we would learn to depend upon the spirit and not so much on the natural, we would find that we might be a lot better off. Now, you know, it's easy for me to talk about this because I've been in it all my life. Like I've told you before, I was born on Sunday morning, September 3rd, 1939, 7 o'clock in the morning. It was a Sunday morning. I remember it very well. No, that's what they told me. I was in church. My dad's a pastor. I was in church the next Sunday. Now, I don't know how much I got out of it, but I was there. And I went to the platform when I was 19 months old because my sister was born. And back in those days, we didn't have no nurseries. In fact, you had one door, and it was right back there at the back. And those little old buildings were about 60 by 80. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And, you know, you didn't have no back. And so if you was in the building, that's the back door. If you was outside, it was the front door. And I went to the platform. People tell me all the time, said, man, you don't seem to have any problem or ever act like you're ever nervous being on the platform. I said, why should I? I've been on it all my life. But you see, I grew up with a man that taught that if you will believe God and call that what is not seen into reality in the seen world, that you can have what you say. Now I'm ahead of myself, so okay, I better slow down. I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, sometimes we are limited in the natural. All of us have limitations in the natural in some areas. Now, some people are more successful in one area than the other, but everybody has limitations in some area. But the truth is that we have a whole lot more based upon the Word of God than we do over here in the natural. We have assets in the Word of God. We got the promises of God. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the plan of God. We got the name of Jesus. We got the blood of Jesus. We got the body of Christ. We got the power of God. These are all our assets. Now, if you want to go to a lending institution, a bank or whatever, and if you want to borrow some money, the first thing they want to know is, do you have any assets? Something that you can use for collateral to guarantee that they're not going to lose money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we have assets that guarantee that we can receive what we believe God for. You know, God has not called us to live by what we can see. He has called us to live by the promises of God. You know, we must learn to see past the obstacles that come up in front of us and see the possibilities with God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 now. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Most of you, some of you know what it says. As soon as I start reading it, I know that scripture. Sometimes we know scriptures, we just don't know the reference. All right. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Today's English version says, For our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. I like the way it said, our life is a matter of faith. Our life is a matter of faith, not sight. It's not what you can see, what can you believe? Not what you can see, what can you believe? You know, my dad used to say all the time to people, they'd come up to him and they'd be talking to him, and he said, well, what can you believe for? And whatever they said they could believe for, then he said, okay, I'll join my faith with you right there. Now he said, if you learn a little bit more about faith, you can believe for a higher level. But you got to start out believing where you're at. It's like a person lifting weights. You can't go start out with heavy weights. You got to start with light weights and build up. You know, George Mueller had the Englishman back in the 1800s in England. He had an orphanage and he had to believe God for everything. And he said today, 20 years later, 25, I forget exactly which. He said, it's just as easy for me to believe God for $1,000 as it was when I started just to believe for $1. Why? Because he had exercised his faith muscles to the point that he could believe God for that. See, believe God for something. Start out believing God for something. Build your faith up to where you can believe God for whatever it is you need to believe God for. You know, learn to look at life with the eyes of faith. You know, some people continue. That's all they can see is the problem. And if they don't have any themselves, they'll borrow some from somebody else. You know, when you talk to them, that's all they can talk about. How bad it is, how bad the world is, how bad everything's going. Oh, they get a sad look on their face and shake their head. Oh, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. Oh, we're going to go under, that's for sure. If you want to walk victorious in the life of God, then you got to choose to look at the promises of God, not at the problems of life. I said, you've got to choose to look at the promises of God, not at the problems that life throws at you. Yes, you know, when you, anybody in here ever played baseball? You know, when you get up to bat and you get in your batting stance and you look out there, what do you look for? Where everybody is? Or do you look for a hole where nobody's at, where you can hit the ball to where they're not at? See, you don't look at where they are. You look at where they're not. That's what you got to do. You got to quit looking at the problems and start looking at the promises. Turn to your neighbor and say, quit looking at the problems and start looking at the promises. Why'd I ask you to do that? Because I want you to get yourself saying it so you get used to the idea of looking at what God said. You know, my dad, people come up, talk to him. I've been with him for so many of those years, till he went on to be with the Lord. I was with him. And people come up and talk to him and ask him, so Brother Hagin, what about this? What about that? And his patent answer every time was, what does the Bible say? Because that's God talking to you. Yes. Somebody said, God never talks to me. I said, well, you don't read your Bible then. Because the Bible is God talking. Hello? We must either choose to look at the obstacle or the opportunity. You choose to either look at the obstacle or the opportunity. You know, learn to walk by faith the way the Word tells us to. Now, Mark 11:23, y'all all probably all know it, because I know that a lot of you here have followed our ministry for years, and you probably know Mark 11:23. But turn, I want you to read it. I know you can quote it, and that's good. I can too, but you know, it's good. You can quote Scripture, but it's good to turn and actually see it with your eyes and read it. All right. The New King James says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. This verse tells us to believe and to speak. Believe and speak. Now I'm going to tell you a little secret here. What you continually look at is what you will continually end up believing. That's what you continue to look at is what you'll end up believing and speaking, really, I should have said. You can always tell what people have been looking at and been listening to by what they say. A person who continually looks at the mountains of life, believes and speaks defeat and failure. A person who continually looks at the promises of God will believe and speak victory and success. Somebody said, man, this is sort of simple. Hey, the Word of God is simple. Man has made, theology has made it hard. You know, now I could get up here and I could talk to you about the theory of traducianism or dualism. And some of you know what I'm talking about and some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Dualism in the theological classroom. Dualism is that we are our soul and body. And Traducian theory, it's not a theory, it's what God says, that we're spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's what Paul said. You know, I could talk to you about ornithology and eschatology and ecclesiology and angelology and pneumatology. Some of you all know what that is because some of you have been to Bible school or seminary. But all those are just simple. Those are big words talking about a simple subject. You know, one of my classes at Rhema, the North Central Accreditation Association, that accredits all the colleges under the DEA, the Department of Education, not DEA, but the Education Department. Anyway, they were looking at our courses because some colleges and many colleges do now take our courses. And I had a course called Practical Ministries. Some of you that have gone to Rhema took that course. Now, They looked at my syllabus and they looked at my notes and so on. And they said, man, this is really a great course. But now, we can't give any credit for it the way it's titled. Now, you don't have to change anything in the course. It's really good. The syllabus is good. Just change the title to the Theology of Practical Ministry. That's the way the world is sometimes. And see, we need to quit looking at the way the world does things, the way the world looks at things, and look at it the way God. Believe and declare. Speak and declare. See, we need to begin to declare that God supplies all our needs. I don't care what you see in the natural. We need to begin to declare, by his stripes we are healed. We need to begin to declare that we have the protection and the safety of God. We need to declare that we have the peace of God. Because he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He said he gives us peace that nobody can understand. Declare that you have victory in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I always triumph in Christ Jesus. Begin to declare that God will make a way for you in this new year where there seems no way. Begin to declare, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Begin to declare that every promise in the book is mine. Yes, amen. And every promise in the book will come to pass in my life. Yes, amen. Come on now. Start saying what you want to see happen in this coming year and stop talking about the problems that exist and start talking about the promises that give deliverance. Anybody with me? I don't know about you. I'm getting excited. I get excited when I get to talking about the Word of God and what we can have because God said it. God said it. See, we got to believe. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I got that written right in the front of this Bible right here. In the fly leaf of this Bible. It's written right. Let me find it. Where is it? It's in here somewhere. There it is. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Kenneth E. Hagin said that. 1917-2003. It was in the fly leaf of everyone his Bible. It's in the fly leaf of my Bible that I preach from. It's there. Because that's what you have to get to. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Yeah, but what about this? No, it's not what about this. What about the Bible? I mean, the enemy will bring everything he can at you. I don't know what y'all say here. I'm an original Texan. And we say down there, you know, bring it, throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink. Anybody ever heard that statement before? Well, I know Roy has. He's from Texas and chill here. But, you know, the devil will bring everything at us and tell us every reason why it can't happen, why that you're not going to make it. He'll throw every obstacle he can in front of you, and you have to believe what God says. No matter what you can see in the natural, you got to believe what is the unseen. The unseen says that it's different than what the scene says. The world says you can't make it. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Man, you know, the Bible says, I mean, the people will say, oh, you can't, you're in a mess financially. But the Bible says, I will supply all your needs. Now you got to believe it. Will it be fun? No. You're going to face obstacles. Been there. Do it all the time. Every month we have to believe God for the finances to run. Rhema. 110 acre campus, 17 buildings. This place here. All of the ones that we can't support all 197 of them of the Bible schools overseas, but we support quite a few of them. We got to believe God for that every month. So, you know, somebody said, well, what do you project to come in? Hey, I don't have a business that I can make any projections on. If you got a business, you can project something. All I can do is say, I believe God. Because we have to believe God. We call it in all the time. I mean, right now, some people have been around me here that have gone out to eat with me, you'll hear every time we pray over our food, at home, with people, well, if it's with some Rhema people, not just everybody, I don't, but with the right people, because the Bible says to watch what you say, you're not supposed, because they'll try to pull you in the arena of doubt, unbelief. But I say it every time I pray over my food. I call in an extra $200,000. We've been needing it. I've been calling an extra $200,000 into the Rhema Ministries every month. Amen. How many of you have heard me say that? There's Caitlin there. Her mom is my assistant. And I know they've heard me say it. Hey, what have I been talking to you about? You say it. Yeah. Man, I could look at, she's the CFO. She comes to me and says, "Hun, man, the IT department is wanting $100,000 this month." Now, I know I'm throwing figures at you, and some of y'all are going back, but hey, remember, we've got over 200 employees. We've got a huge ministry. But God supplies the need. I tell God, I say, "All right, God, here it is." I talk to God just like I talk to you. I say, "All right, God, here it is. We up against it. But your word says, I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm not looking at the problem. I'm looking at the answer. And the answer in the word of God says that all of my needs are met." And I said, "This is your idea. This is yours. You can take care of it. I'm going to go to sleep." The devil try to get you worrying about it. Hello. Hey. I'm there every day. I'm there. We got to believe God every day. She goes in the accounting department every day. Sees where we are, what bills we can pay. We believe God for the money to come in the next day to pay the bills. Hey, I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. I'm trying to tell you I have to believe God just like you do. Now, that's just for the ministry. Now, I got my own personal life that I have to believe God for. And I got 5 grandsons that, "Poppy, I need this. Poppy, I need a new baseball bat. I need a new helmet for football." Any of y'all went and priced out these things right lately? The good ones that protect you, the good helmets that protect you, one of the new really good baseball. In fact, there's some of the baseball bats that they won't even let you use in the leagues anymore. They're illegal. And Poppy, I mean, he was over here last summer in Oklahoma City in a tournament. He calls me on the phone, "Poppy, my bat just went flat. I hit the ball and it bent in and it's no good. I need a bat." I said, "Well, how much is one?" "Well, the one I want is $250. He said, it's the newest thing out." I said, all right, Wesley, go get it." Thank God I could. I'm to the point that I can't. Well, actually, I used my Social Security check to buy all that stuff for those 5 boys. That's what my Social Security tag goes for, because I get a salary from being a pastor of a church. So I use my Social Security check to help my grandsons. I told Annette, I said, "You know, she's fixing to have to start taking Social Security." She don't let me say it because she says she's 50, but she has this year she's going to have to start drawing her Social Security. And I told her, I said, "When you get that, that's yours. You can do whatever you want to with it. You can buy the boys something. You buy yourself something. Because that's your money you earn. You spend it on you. It don't go into the." Now, our salaries that we work together, that goes into, that's our personal, that's the family money right there. But my Social Security, her Social Security, that. And then I believe God for extra money. She'll tell you, when I'm riding motorcycles with Craig, that I never took any of our family money. I believed God for extra money so I could buy motorcycles and buy motorcycle helmets and, you know, off-road. We don't ride road. I told him, I said, "If I ever catch you riding on the road, I'll take every motorcycle we got and we'll sell it. We ride the dirt. We ain't riding on the road." I've been in the hospital with too many of my members that I had to watch them pull the plug and been in a motorcycle wreck on the road. But you got to believe God. See, why am I telling you all this? Not because you feel sorry for me, but I want you to show you, hey, I have to believe God just like you do. This word is true for me. It's true for you. It's true for anybody that will be willing to believe what the word of God says and see the unseen. Don't see the seen. Don't see the problem. See the word of God that tells you that you can be delivered. Hello. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm God excited. All right, I want to close this down. I mean, it's almost 7 o'clock, isn't it? I want to close this down. I want to use the word faith to help you understand and see that impossibilities in life can become possibility this coming year. And they're supposed to have it back there. I'm going to use the word faith. Have y'all got that back there? All right. The word F, first letter of faith, F-A-I-T-H. You might want to write this down. I'll give you a chance. The first thing you have to do, focus continually on God's promises, not on the problem. Focus continually on God's promises. What does the Bible say? What does God say? I'll leave up there a minute because I see some of you writing. All right, now the A. Ask God for what you need. Ask God for what you need or the things you need. Now, why do I say that? Because some people, they pray in generalities. You've got to be specific. Tell him exactly what it is you want. I've heard my dad tell people, they say, I need healing. Well, what's the matter with him? Well, I don't know, really. I just need healing. He said, find out what's the matter with you so you can specifically tell God what you need to be healed of. What do you need? I remember back when I was in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade, Dad, he would call home. He'd be out on the road. He'd be gone 8, 10, 12 weeks at a time, be out on the road. But he called home every Tuesday. He would call Mom, and he'd say, all right, now at this time, I'm going to be in the church here praying and believing God. This is how much we have to have this week in offerings in order to be able to live. And so we would get together, Mom, my sis, and I. We'd join our hands at that particular time, and he'd tell us. And we'd say, well, all right, well, we'd call a certain amount of money, ever what it was, $150, $200, $300, whatever it was. We'd call it in. And then every time we would think about it, we would say, and when I'd pray to go to bed at night, I'd go to my room, I'd say, I thank you, Lord, for that money coming in this week. This is what we need. You're going to bring it in. Hey, that's the way I grew up living. That's the way my dad was. We would call it in. Whatever we needed that week, we would call it in. Don't look at me like that. Hey, I remember whenever he had to sell the car for junk, and he would either ride the bus or hitchhike to preach, and he was preaching, believing God. But I remember the day that I walked out and he came home. He'd been preaching over in Fort Worth. He drove over to Garland after he got through on Friday night. And I woke up on Saturday morning, went outside. There was a brand new 53 Oldsmobile, 98, sitting in the driveway. I asked Dad, I said, where's that old car? He said, this is our new car. I said, oh, somebody let you borrow it? No, he said, that's ours. That was 1953. We call it in. And from that time on, 1953 to the day he went home to be with the Lord, if he wanted a new car, he had one. Amen. You got to keep believing it against the odds, against the obstacles. I mean, it's going to look like you're going under. It's going to look like you're not going to make it. But if you keep believing God, you'll make it. John Osteen preached a message at camp meeting one year. He said, God's payday is not every Friday, but if you keep believing God and keep saying what God said in his word, you will get the payday. And I tell you, that's the truth. All right, let's go. I. Imagine, meditate, in other words, on God's promises. Meditate on God's promises. Any of you ever played ball and sit in a dressing room and a coach come in there and tell you, imagine yourself scoring a touchdown. See yourself doing it. Anybody ever been there? I have. Hey, I've heard Dad tell people all the time, and I do it myself, see yourself healed. See yourself with your needs met. See yourself driving a new car. One guy told me, I'm believing God for a new car. I said, no, you're not. Whoa, what do you mean? I said, you couldn't get a car in your garage. You've got so much junk in there if you got a new car. I said, if you really believe God's going to give you a new car, you clean that garage out and get it ready and get some polish and some things to take care of that car. He said, you know, you're probably right, aren't you? I said, I know I'm right. All right, T, thank God you have received when you ask. Thank God that you have received when you ask. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. But you keep thanking God that it's done. Hey, I'm overtime by 2 minutes. Is that all right? I'm going anyway. Don't make no difference. H, hold fast to your confession of God's word. Don't let anybody take it away from you. In fact, there's some people you don't want to tell about it because they'll bombard you with junk. Hold fast to your confession. You start confessing things from the Word of God, and you'll hear somebody on the television, Christian television, that'll say completely opposite of what you're holding fast, a confession of God's Word. Don't pay any attention. Well, brother so-and-so, I don't care who said it. What did God say? Yeah, but he's a prophet. So what? Is he bigger than God? Hey, I'm wound up tonight. Hallelujah. Hold fast. You know, like I said, you need to look at this new year with the eye of faith and see God meeting every one of your needs, whatever they are. I believe God is telling us this year this is just something that I got. This year is a fresh start for some of you. For some, there will be an acceleration of his plan. For others, it's time to rise up to a new level in his word. So embrace the day you're living in and know that it is a step into the things that I have promised in my word, plans for your life. Believe what I've spoken to your heart. And although you do not yet see it with your physical eye, even now you can see it with the eye of faith. So it's time to rise up and declare that which I have spoken to your heart and boldly declare that you will see and walk in the reality of what has not yet been seen. For my glory shall rise upon thee, and those who will believe my word and go the way that I have spoken for you shall not walk in that way alone. I've already been there, and I'll walk with you every step of the way. So rejoice and be glad, for this is your appointed hour to receive. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's something that the Lord had given me, and I wrote it there. It's good for you. And it goes with that message. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times God, there'll be a prophecy or something that'll come out. And I get out and I read it and I say, man, this fits with this message right here. Hey, a prophecy is always good. It's always good. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I talk to these people for a few moments tonight to stir up their pure hearts to believe you no matter what. To stand and say, I receive, when everybody else is saying, no way. I thank you today, Father, that the impossibility becomes possibility as we stand on your word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Did anybody get anything out of what I said tonight? Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Hey, tonight, is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus? You know, I never like to preach that I don't give an invitation. Somebody said, well, we can look around and see that all of us here are Christians. Well, maybe so. But I still give an opportunity. I never, hardly ever. Anybody need to rededicate their life or need a no-so experience? A lot of people go to church nowadays. They don't know if they're saved or not. They just go to church. Anybody need healing? We'll pray for you for healing. Just get up and come down here. If you need healing, we'll pray right now. Everybody stand. I see one person coming for healing. Hallelujah to Jesus. I believe. Do you believe? How many of you believe that he's going to get healed right now, right here? Hallelujah. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing power of God that's flowing into this body to effect the healing and cure. That's it. That's the power of God right there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Complete healing, wholeness from the top of your head, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Retaining fluid, don't know why. In the name of Jesus. Body, this fluid goes in the name of Jesus. Release from this body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody raise your hands and thank God. Thank God for healing power. Hallelujah. I believe. I don't know about you. I believe. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, next Sunday night, be right here at 6 o'clock, okay? Hallelujah. Get a hold of what I said tonight and make it daily, every day. Find out what it is you're speaking and confess it to God and say, I believe God. Call it out. Call it in. And say it out loud. Hallelujah. I do. Any of you know a fellow by the name of Narvel Hayes? My dad is in Narvel, a very close friend. In fact, the Hagen family, very close to Narvel. He told my wife all the time, he said, if I find somebody like you, I'd marry him. He used to tell them that all the time. He finally did get married, I think. But he had a restaurant that nobody was in. And every day at noon, it'd be empty. And he was losing money. He went down there, he parked in front of that restaurant. And he said, he'd just scream at the top of him, I call you full in the name of Jesus. People told him, you're ignorant, Narvel. He said, no, that's what the Bible said. It wasn't through. He told me a month later, you couldn't get in the place at noon. But for 3 weeks, he sat in front of an empty restaurant with the waitresses in there, the cook and everybody. Wasn't nobody in there. He said, I'd go after I called people in there, I'd go in and have a bowl of soup or something. I'm the only one there. But I called the people in. He said, you couldn't even get in the parking lot. See, you got to keep doing it. Hey, people say, look at Narvel down there. He's down there talking at that restaurant again. He just told him, forget it. See, he said, I see this restaurant full. I see this parking lot full. He was looking in the unseen. He wasn't looking at what he can see. That's what I want you to do as you face the problems. Look, don't look at what you see. Look at the unseen, what the Word of God says, and it'll be yours. And I'm going to start preaching again if I don't shut up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, don't forget about that. We're going to have the 1st of February. We're going to have that super party, whatever it is anyway. I don't pronounce the word right, but English never was my good subject. You know that by the way I talk. My subject was history and science. Math and English was on the outside there. I barely made it by, but I got by. I'm going to go to one of these doors and shake hands, and she's going to go to the other and we'll shake your hands. Shake hands with people. Hey, go out there and get some of that whatever's out there. Fellowship with people. All right. God bless you. We'll see you in Jesus' name. Amen.